The code for this podcast is SSAT007. This podcast is from a series titled How to Measure Your Spirit. The section is about your spiritual survival needs, and the segment covered is eternal salvation. This is discussion number 7 of 18, and covers the scripture reference of John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. Please note that the first 3 or so minutes of this podcast are a reminder of how this all works. Skip past this only if Holy Spirit leads you to. Enjoy Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome. We are covering a series of scriptures from the Bible, and this is covering how to measure your spirit, your emotions, and your earth suit. There are many scriptures that you will be able to go through. You can either do that in groups, just looking at the scriptures and speaking to the Holy Spirit. Or if you would like, you're welcome to listen to the podcasts. And those are also available. If you feel like you would like to support this work, please will you just ask Holy Spirit who it is around you that needs to be blessed. I have discovered that the Lord will provide for me. So bless other people. Bless and encourage and help and strengthen other people. So if you're following along with us in the handbook, you can download that from multidimensionalthinkers.com/a-life-is-worth-living. You'll see the handbook towards the top. There's also an Excel calculator there, so you could also use that if you wanted to. You'll be able to go to the different podcasts from there. They're on different pages. You just need to look a little further down the web page. You will see the links to those things, how to measure your spirit, how to measure your emotions, how to measure your earth. Remember that as you listen, make the keywords in the second column, and the scoring needs to be done based on your conversation with Holy Spirit, where He says to you, yeah, you've got some work to do on this one, or no, you're fine. If you're fine, then it's a 0. If you're not fine, then you mark it as a -1. And that is you giving the Holy Spirit permission to make changes in your life as far as those things are concerned.
And you can't measure it against anyone else, because everybody's on a specific journey with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got His own agenda about how He is raising each and every one of us. So you can never compare, which means that you can also never judge the other person. But you can, and you should, be loving each other along that journey. And that'll give you an indication of how strong you are. Nothing to boast about, because even if you get one that you're not great at the moment, it just means that God's growing you, right? It's good to have things that you have to fix and grow into and things like that, so that's not a bad thing. And again, you can never compare with anyone else.
Please remember that everything on the site and all of these messages are free. So don't charge for them, please, if you're forwarding them on. Almighty Father, we just pray that you open our eyes, please, and teach us what it is that you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. This morning we're reading from John 3, 1 to 18. We continue with the relation of your spiritual development. It is a conversation between you and the Holy Spirit around His scriptures. And so the only measurement you can do is whether or not you are in line with where the Holy Spirit has you at the moment. He says that you're in a good space or not a good space with each scripture, which is a study of the survival strength of your spirit. How is your spirit surviving? And the particular section that we're doing now is, or the facet of that is, eternal salvation. So, we're doing John 3, 1 to 18. Now, we're going to unpack it backwards to a degree, because it's a very important section. And then the background to that is actually in John 3, 1 to 15. So if you don't understand John 3, 1 to 15, you're not going to get John 3, 16, which of course is probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible, right? Okay, so let's go to, pardon me, to John 3, 18. And we unpack that backwards. Okay. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we're talking about the only begotten Son of God. Begotten means that it's like born of, right? So from a spiritual perspective, every word you speak is born of you. It comes from your heart, right? So any word that God speaks comes from him. It's born of his heart. That's why God can say that, why Jesus is referred to as the Son of God. He comes from God, right? He is God's word. It's the only begotten Son of God. So there is no one else. There's no other religion. There's no other person. It's only Jesus, right? The name of the only begotten Son of God. This is important from a spiritual perspective. Names are, how best to explain this, would be, you live within a street, or within a suburb, or within some form of jurisdiction. And if you say, I am, say, a South African, then you are saying that I am under the jurisdiction of South Africa. I belong to it. I keep its laws. I submit to it, ways of operation. Because that is the name under which I live. Okay. So, for example, if a area of South Africa is going to change its name, that area needs to be demarcated, and the name needs to be changed, and then everything that happens within that place, the street addresses, everything needs to be changed. All the letters, all the postcards, all the business cards, all the business letters, etc. All of that needs to be changed to the new name, because you're under a new jurisdiction, right? Now, it's exactly the same here. So this is the name of the only Son of God. It's an area, it's a jurisdiction that your spirit lives within. Okay. It's important to understand that, because whenever you say in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, then you are saying that it is that Jesus who died on the cross, which means that you're saying it is the Son of God who was crucified, which means that you're saying that it's the only begotten Son of God. That's what you're saying. So spirits do not move physically. They don't get up on their legs and walk about. Spirits move by their will. It's your will that causes you to move from one place to another. In the spiritual realm, you move by thought, but you can't actually move by thought unless you apply your will. You can't apply your will if you don't believe that that other place actually exists. So spirit can't move, can't they? You'd just be stuck and paralyzed, right? There's nothing that you'd be able to do. So, if you don't believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, you don't believe that that is a real place, spiritual place. And remember, actually, the Son of God, that demarcation is not an area within everything. It is, in fact, everything that exists. The greatest jurisdiction that can exist anywhere, that includes all planets, all the universes, if there are more than one if and everything physical, everything spiritual, all and everything falls within the jurisdiction of Jesus Christ. So when you say to any demonic spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are saying that you're a citizen of the one who owns absolutely everything. This is the reason why they always listen. They won't listen to your words, by the way. They'll listen to what you mean. The spiritual world doesn't pay attention to words. The spiritual world pays attention to what you mean, what you will, what you honestly believe. That's what it pays attention to. So, if we go back a bit further, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That is the word of God, right? Because he has not believed. So something has happened, yes. We go back a bit further. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You see, if you do not believe, you are already outside of everything. You're condemned already. There's only one place for you, and it's the only place that God has chosen to remove himself from. And that's a place called hell. That place God has removed himself from. And if you don't believe in Jesus, there is no other place for you. There is no other place for you. And so you stand condemned already. He that believeth on Jesus, on him, is not condemned. Well, obviously, because you are believing in, remember the Spirit, belief is how you remove, etc. You believe, and it's really important. To believe on is not the same as to believe in. Demons believe in Jesus. They believe that he exists. They know he exists. But they don't believe on him. They don't support his cause. They don't want people saved. They don't support the fact that he came to die. They will dispute it. They will do everything that they can to stand against it. And it's one of the ways that you can test your own heart. How do you feel about the fact that Jesus died to save other people? And note what I've just said. Jesus died to save other people. All those people that you have an issue with, Jesus died to save you. All those people that you are angry with or that you would just rather you wish that they never were there, Jesus died to save them. If you do not support that Jesus should die to save them if they choose to turn, then you do not believe in the cause of Jesus Christ. You do not believe on Jesus. You don't put your faith on him. You don't trust him. You don't choose to support him. Oh yes, Jesus, I'll support you while you're saving me and a few of my buddies, but I don't support you if you're going to save that guy. You see how it doesn't work? Because then you don't have God's heart. And that's believing on Jesus is to support him in his cause. Which means that there needs to be some kind of action, some kind of proof that you do support him. You must be doing something. If you're not doing anything, then you've really got a question whether or not you believe on him. That's verse 18. So going back further to the beginning of verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now remember, this is 2,000 years ago, right? God has given us 2,000 years. And those 2,000 years that he's given us have made sure that we've had ample time through generations and generations and generations. Okay. To come to know Jesus and to believe on him, right? At that time, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We know that when Jesus was crucified, that door opened for us, right? Because the penalty was then paid, and anyone who then chose to believe on Jesus was able to be saved. And here's the key. That's what happened then. When he comes back now, he's going to say, you guys have had 2,000 years. What is your decision? Because you can't just have it like this forever. And of course, this time he's coming back to judge. What have you actually done? Have you believed on him? We go back a bit further to John 3:16. Now with this in the background, with this understanding that I've just said, right? Now when you listen to John 3:16, you get a really interesting perspective. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if you pay really close attention to this wording, you'll see that it uses something really important. For God so loved the world, true, that he gave his only begotten son, well, we know that that's his word, okay, came from his heart, right? That whosoever believeth in him, now notice this isn't in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should. It's not a will. Whoever believeth in him, it doesn't say will not perish. It says should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can almost take away the 17, which makes the beginning of the next verse, and you can go, for God. Okay, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Might again. This is not going to be saved. Might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The way I read the Bible, this should be the most famous verse in the Bible, because John 3:16 is an introduction to this. Do you see it? John 3:16 is an introduction. It says, should not perish, but have everlasting life. In verse 17, it says, might be saved. And verse 18 tells you exactly where you stand. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, that gives you real insight into where you really stand. And you've got to ask that question. Where do I really stand on that? Right? Well, let's go back further to what does it mean to believe on? Yes, we know that we're now going to believe on Jesus, and we understand, but why? How is it that this makes any difference? How does believing on Jesus make any difference? Right? Go back to 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We kind of said that again. That was repeated in verse 16, right? And go back to 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now this is such an important sentence. And in fact, if you look at the cross-reference, you'll see that it's referring to Numbers 21, verse 9. Hidden away in this book is the story of how, as the Israelites traveled through the desert after the Exodus out of Egypt, they came to a place where there were a lot of snakes, a lot of deadly serpents, and the deadly serpents would go in and bite the people, and they would die. Now, this is almost the same as what goes on here and nowadays. Yes, we've got people killing each other, but we've also got people using terrible words against each other, right? and kind of cursing each other with their words. But here's the important part to understand. Moses is then called upon. He said, Moses, these snakes are killing us. Please ask God to take them away. God doesn't take them away. God leaves them there to kill people. But he does tell Moses, Moses, I want you to make a brass serpent, and I want you to put it up. And we don't know if it was put up on a pole or if it was put up on a cross, right? We don't know exactly how it was. But it was lifted up. So here it's hanging on a piece of wood, right? And this brass serpent is there. And God says, make this brass serpent and tell the people, whoever looks on this and believes that they're healed will be healed. Alright. So imagine now you're a person, you're in a tent. Tent's quite far from where the serpent is, but anyway, you're not, I mean, you've just been bitten. Now you're lying there and you're now supposed to go, which means you've got to physically get there, right? Somebody's got to take you. And you're not feeling well. We don't know. We think there were asps, in which case you don't have too long before you die. You have to get there. So you've got to go there first. Then when you get there, you've got to look at this brass serpent I'm going to call it a cross, because Jesus says, as the serpent in the wilderness was lifted up. All right. So when they're looking at this, now this person has to not just look at it. It doesn't mean just look at it. They're going to have to believe. They're going to have to believe that this is what God said. As dumb as it sounds, as impossible as it sounds, as ridiculous as it sounds, God has said, this is the way I want to do it. And if you do it, if you trust in Him, then you're healed from a snake bite. Well, look at that now. If you see how God put that, remember God's outside of time, so He designed the entire timeline. He designed every part of the story and how, in fact, what we do is we play into that story saying, how are we going to respond to it, right? So Jesus says here in 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now you understand. Now you understand that Jesus had to die on the cross. He had to die like that, because it's fulfilling the pattern and the promise that was given thousands of years before with Moses. Right? In Moses' time, if the serpent bit you, you were going to die. You looked on what was lifted up. And you believed that you were healed. You were healed. By the way, you couldn't do that in your tent. You couldn't just believe in your tent. You had to actually believe. You had to go there. You had to physically go there. You had to make the journey. Nowadays, people have sinned. Where did that sin come from? And the original sin came out of Adam and Eve. Where did that come from? Believing the serpent. They believed in what Satan said. And they chose to disobey. That's when the sin intervened. From then on, everybody was poisoned, right? They might be physically living, but they're spiritually poisoned. Only then, looking at Jesus on the cross, paying for your sin, believing that He has healed you, He has restored you, He has saved you. Only that is going to be able to save you. That's the actual action that was taken. So go back a bit further to verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now notice you've got Son of God and you've got Son of Man, right? The Son of Man is because He is in man's flesh. He You see, Jesus had to die as a human being. He was God. He was bringing God's perfect blood with him. Jesus had to die physically as a human being to be able to pay for the sin of the human being. Right? That was the original sin of Adam. He had to pay for that. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And I find that really interesting, because what he's saying there, you can be in both heaven and on earth at the same time. You can be in the physical body, and you can be spiritually alive to heaven at the same time. So you don't just only get to heaven when you leave. The minute you give your heart to the Lord, your spirit is alive in heaven. It's not released from this planet, so you're still going through stuff. But it's a bit like you're still in the womb, right? You have a destination that you will be coming out, but that's a bit like an embryo, you know, the minute of conception. There's a destiny of that embryo to actually get born. And that's exactly what it is. So you're now the embryo is physically present in the physical realm. Right? It's just not physically out here in the world walking around. So now we read from 1 to, we're going to read it through from 1 all the way through to 18. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see how they can only, in those days, they could only think physically. They didn't understand spiritual. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, this is interesting. Both times where you see this, born of water and the Spirit, that's a capital S Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Right? You've got to be born of the Holy Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is Spirit, lowercase s. So we are, our spirit is a lowercase s. We're not the Holy Spirit, right? I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is Spirit, lowercase s. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit, capital S, born of capital of the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? In other words, you're teaching these people. How can you not know this? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Guys, you need to think about that, speak to the Holy Spirit about that, ask him where you stand on this, and mark yourself off as a minus one. If he says that you've got some work to do on this, then minus one, make a few keywords in the second column, just to remind yourself in 6 months or a year's time when you go back and look at this and see how God has grown you in that year, because that's the amazing thing about this exercise. So when you go back and you look at it and you say, I wasn't doing well there, and look how God has been working in my life. I've sorted this out. Thank you, Jesus. This. Oh, and I see I've slipped over here. You see, this is it. If you don't measure yourself, you can't possibly manage yourself, right? And when we say manage yourself, we know that that we're accountable to God for how we behave and what we do. If God says that you're in a good space with this, you're on top of this, you can mark it as plus zero. God bless, guys. Have a beautiful day. Bye.